For those of you who may be visiting this morning, I'd just like to catch you up a little bit. We've been looking for 3 weeks at the subject of looking who is our neighbor and loving our community in different and fuller ways. Last week, when we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, we looked at the question of who is my neighbor? And in that, we basically answered it in these two ways. The person that is my neighbor is the person in need that God has placed in my life, and that God, with God's help, those needs we can address. And that's a perfect example of this person along the side of the road, beaten up and robbed, basically mugged and needing help. And then the second thing, there was the person who was a neighbor to this person, the person who was called the Good Samaritan. And that person is the person who's different from us in many, many ways, but somehow God uses them to show us God's values and whose praiseworthy behavior or their perspective can become a bridge from our lives into their lives so that we can get to know that person better. And so this is a way that we can love people in our community is find those things that are praiseworthy in their lives and to acknowledge it and to say, I really appreciate this about you. I find this something that I want more of in my own life. That even that becomes a bridge into their lives. Well, this week, our focus will be more on how do I love my neighbor? How do I love my neighbor is often the question we most wrestle with. What is really helping? What is enabling? Does the helping create more problems? How do I know the difference? What is compassionate care? And what is the kind of care that could put us at risk? Is there generally an element of risk in being a neighbor to another? How do we handle the sense and scope of that risk? For example, last week I cited a social study experiment where a young man dressed up first as a street person and then second as a businessman. In the one case, he walked across a busy intersection over to his piece of sidewalk, and he fell on the sidewalk. And when he was dressed as a street person, nobody noticed. People just walked around. And for the longest time, again, you can look this up on YouTube and just watch it. The second time, when he was dressed as a businessman, he fell over on the sidewalk, and immediately people streamed to him. They immediately were trying to get to the person. And so this engenders the question, why is that? It touches on the how question. How do I help when a homeless person could be strung out on drugs and dangerous? What if they had some communicable disease? Now, none of you think about this, right? No, you don't think about this stuff, okay? Could that be equally true of a smartly dressed businessman? That somehow he's strung out on drugs and just drops on the sidewalk? So what assumptions are we making when we help or don't help a neighbor? Are these the things that generally stop us from being a neighbor in our community? What I'd like you to do is to think with me this week, anticipating next week, about those how questions. Because we're going to look at some of the things that are barriers for us in loving our neighbor. But today, I'd like to get back to the question, and based on some things that we looked at already, how do we love our neighbor? And I want to just give you a couple of resources for that as well, in loving our neighbor. One of the ways that we love our neighbors is, I would say, we have a team of people who help us learn about the kind of needs that our neighbors have in our community. The outreach team has done a lot of things. They're busy both personally in ministry to people in need. And they are tasked, you might say, by us to help us as a group identify needs within our community that perhaps we could address corporately, where it would be difficult to address them separately. So these are the people that you could touch base with, Phyllis and Bonnie and Kari and Jessica and Jen, to talk with them about some of the things that they have on their minds. I know that they're making it a special effort to try to find those things in our community that you might say are kind of custom fit for Cherry Grove, based on who we are, how we can become involved with people in our community. So that's one thing. And just to touch about another thing, in this emphasis of the 4 weeks, yesterday, a number of the churches in Battleground got together, about 100 people from the different Battleground churches, and they were engaged in two service projects, some for helping people who couldn't, who can't take care of some of their fall cleanup around their home. They simply don't have the health to do it. And then another is to do the cleanup at the Kiwanis Park. And so here's an example of some of the stuff that they just collected that really needed picked up at Kiwanis Park. I think that our city is impressed with the desire of churches to be involved in their community. So here's another concrete way that we are trying to be engaged. And then praying, we mentioned this, but I want to emphasize it again. The following Sunday, this next Sunday, we'll be gathering together over at Battleground Baptist Church to join them and 10 or 9 other churches in a time of prayer for our community. This is one of the richest things I've been involved in my life, that there's opportunity to join with other believers in that. It's at Battleground Baptist. I don't know if you knew, but there was a great contingent from Battleground Baptist here last night at our Ansylvania, and they loved it. They just totally loved it. So it's really fun to be in a community, and especially a faith community of churches that are focusing on the subject of what does it mean to love our neighbor. And those are some of the practical ways that we can become involved. Now, back to the story from last week. Let's think a little bit about what happened in this story. I think we could take one more sweep through the text. The story was about the Good Samaritan. But if we were to look at the story now from the question not just of who we are to love, but how is love expressed? How is love expressed in our story? So we'll read through the text, and I'll stop at each point on each slide, and we'll just say, what do you see in terms of how the person loved or was loved? So read with me, if you will. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him." So if we were to address the idea of love or befriending people based on the story of the Good Samaritan so far, what do you see? Love is what? Taking care of needs. Having compassion. There's an impulse. There's a reaching out. What happens before compassion? Seeing. You have to see him. Yes. Sure. Being willing to overcome a boundary, and this was a very serious and solid boundary, that between the Samaritan and the Jew. Anything else that you see here? He saw him, yes. Yes? Yeah. So the impulse to love, and then I think someone used the word see. You have to see. You have to be observant. Right? You have to be observant. So maybe that can help some of us, is to just try to be more observant and looking around and actually seeing. And it may be, and this is the wonderful thing, everything that we see here, it says he has compassion or pity on him. There's an emotional thing. But much of what this Good Samaritan does that is loving is there isn't the emotional element talked about in the text. It's seeing the need. It's responding to the need. Obviously, there is an emotional element at times, but to not depend on just the feeling or the impulse, but being observant. Let's see. Let's continue then. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." What do you see? What is love in this case? Generous. Involved monetarily. That is, sometimes love is costly. Yes? It's time. It's time, because the verse before says he took care of him. Yeah, it looks like he stayed the night, took care of him during the night, and then left the next day. So there's time. Took responsibility for the guy. Yeah, isn't that, that's an interesting term he used. Taking responsibility. That he figured out it was his to do. It was his to do because of the need over here. It's mine to do. Oh, why, my goodness, I've never seen that. He was loving the innkeeper by not imposing on him, by providing the payment for the person's stay. Excellent. Even after he returns. So it's not one and done. Sometimes it involves being there. Oh, in a sense, it was the promise to be there, wasn't it? He promised to be there. Yes. 2 days labor. So imagine working 2 full days, and it goes into that, wherever you are. 2 days goes into that, and it represented about a month's lodging, by some estimates. Pay for anything extra. Cool. This innkeeper, I hadn't thought about it so much. In a sense, he involved others in taking in responding to this need. He certainly was willing to pay for it, but he involved others. And so that is something sometimes we can do too, not to feel completely and solely responsible for something, but actually to involve others in the process of meeting need. Sometimes our gifting acts as a filter in what we see. Did you hear that, outreach team? How much we need you? We need you, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's take a look here. So how do I love my neighbor? We've covered a few things. These are just some things drawn from the text. To be observant, compassionate, responsive, even if it's costly or inconvenient. That meeting people's need focuses sometimes on healing. And healing is a big word. It can be physical healing. It can be emotional healing. It can be spiritual healing. Being there for people is real important. That it can involve other people, which is in a sense communal, and it also involves promising and mercy. So those are the things. We've just gone through another sweep of this text. Remember, this text started off with a big question. A teacher of the law came to Jesus, and he asked him a big question. He says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds to his question by saying, well, what do you think? What do you think what's written in the law and the prophets? And this lawyer responds, Lord, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So that's the setting of this. And then, because Jesus said, you've answered well, he was, I think, a little irked by Jesus. And so he said, kind of a hand on hip, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him this story. Now we take a look at, there's another gospel, Matthew and also Luke, have a parallel passage in this. And I'd like to look quickly at Matthew's gospel and how it handles the question. Matthew's and Luke's gospel does not include the story of the Good Samaritan, but it does include some very important elements that I think might be helpful to us in answering the question, how do I love people? And it goes back to the question, or the text that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And if some of you have memorized this and you keep wanting to say, and strength, that's because it's found in Mark. In Mark's gospel, it adds the words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That's why it's there. So we're to love. And then he goes on saying this, and if you'd like to turn there to the passage, it's Matthew chapter 22, and we'll be looking at verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40, and we're going to take a look at that passage just now. Would you read with me? Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commands." So here's our story today, and there are some amazing things in this text. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. My main concern here this morning is about loving your neighbor as yourself. But again, we need to look at context to understand what that really means. The first thing he says, the most important thing he says, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Okay? This is the greatest commandment. So he's answering this person's question directly right there. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God. Now, it goes on to say something else. The person never asks about what Jesus supplies here. He only asks about the greatest commandment. But Jesus is not content with just that. He's going to teach him something else that is extremely important. How important? Let's look at the text. And the second is like it. What do you think of when you see, and the second is like it? Hmm?
It's a corollary.
It's a corollary. What does that corollary mean? Okay. It comes out of that? Loving others comes out of loving God? Anything else that comes to mind? Yes. It is a quote from the Old Testament law. It comes in Leviticus. Both of them come from, one from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus. The second is like it. So its origins are the same. Anything else? Yeah. So the second is like the first. We love God with our whole being. And the second is that we take that effort. Is it the right word? That kind of effort, that kind of investment, and we apply it over here as well. Yep, I think it's getting to that. I think he's raising the bar for us all. We could congratulate ourselves that we love the Lord our God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. But he's talking about a second thing that could be, if you had to say it's as binding or it's as important, it's this. The second one is like it. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, and the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That again gives you this impression that these two things are very important. What happened? Okay. Ew. I'm never going to raise these two fingers again. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. You can't have the second without the first. And I'm going to pose a corollary question. Can you have the first without the second? You can't have genuine first. Okay, so they go together. And it is a false thing we set up when we think they can be separated. It is very broad. It embraces beyond our boundaries. And remember, our boundaries are sometimes invisible to us. We have to be careful about our boundaries. Sometimes we wall off to people. Now, all these hang on these two commandments. If you could imagine for a moment a giant scroll, and in this I'm borrowing some imagery from John Piper in the way he treats this text. If you could imagine a scroll that includes all the law, the Old Testament, all the prophets, all that was revealed about God in the person Jesus Christ when he walked this earth, because it says he revealed the Father to his people. If you could imagine the scroll getting longer and longer and including not just the Gospels, but also the epistles and even to the book of Revelation, you could see all of that gets summed up in, or it, all of that hangs on these two basic things, that we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we love others as we love ourselves. Two critical and important things. Now, some people quickly say, well, that means we just dump all of that's in there. And that's not exactly what I think he means. He says it's these things we're trying to express love to God and love to others. To borrow a phrase from C.S. Lewis, he talked about Christian ethics being something like this, that ships, we are each represent our own little sailing ship, and we go out to sea. And some of the maritime rules of navigating in the sea helped ships not bump into each other. Well, God's word and will, expressed through the law and the prophets, and throughout the scope of Scripture, help us do the same, not only for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, but we behave better with those who don't know Christ because of what is revealed in God's word. That is what it means to be summed up in that. So just a quick summary. I love these two shoes. love God and love each other. None of us like going around with one shoe on, right? Because you've got two of them. You need them. So it is in loving God and loving people. The second thing is this. To love all these things hang on these two commandments, though, and also to love as you love yourself. Now, that's the kind of tricky thing. Somehow, we're supposed to kind of get into the experience of other people, so much so that we might say we get inside their skin. That is, we begin to see what is life like for them. What are their hurts? What are the questions that they're asking? What among these things do I have anything from Christ to be able to offer them? Is there some fit between what they're going through and what Christ has shown me? And if so, then we begin to say, I see what Christ did for me, and I need, because Christ was good to me, or because Christ people enfleshed Christ in such a way that my life was transformed, I need to do that for other people. So we get in touch with things at times like, I remember that crushing experience that I went through and what was so difficult about it. And it helps me see the crushed person who's struggling and deeply needs the Christ I know. And we begin to just befriend them, just smile and go sit beside them or do something helpful. In time, God helps us to know what it's kind of like to be like them in places where we've hurt and needed a friend. If we're going to love people like Christ loved us, we go and befriend that person. That's how we get at loving our neighbor. We begin to take some stock of what it's like to be me. Love them as myself. What is it like to be me? What are they going through that is like what I've gone through? And there we have a bridge into the lives of another person. So love God, love each other. This is God's call on us all. Now, I gave this illustration. This is one of the places I went on my sabbatical. It's called Meteoria. And on the tops of these big, tall pillars, monks would build these homes. And they would literally haul up their groceries. In this particular case, there was a bridge eventually built between the one rock and the other rock over there. This isn't, for lack of a better term, I'm going to call the number one commandment kind of approach to spirituality. I want to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, and all my might. And so I'm going to kind of wall off, and I'm going to go up on the mountain, and I'm going to stay there, and I'm going to make a lifestyle, a whole life of devoting my life to God. There's something wrong with that, I think. I mean, that's not what I would choose, and I don't think that's what Christ would have us choose to do if we're going to fulfill these two things. The second example I'm going to give is the other side of things. A life that just simply gives and gives and gives and gives to people, regardless, without coming into a relationship with God that literally fills my cup so I have something to offer to somebody else, is like this plant. Sooner or later, it's just going to be petals on the table, isn't it? We're cut off from the roots, cut off from the nutrients of our relationship with God. So both things go together. Another example is, on these two things hang the law and the prophets. love of God and, well, you know, a swing just really doesn't work with just one thing there. It is meant to go together. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Oh, gracious Christ, thank you for showing us the Father's will, that from the very beginning, what he wanted is his people to know him and to come and enjoy him forever. Sometimes we forget this. We are busy about our lives and doing. Return us to that. We pray also for the sake of those who don't know you yet, that out of our love for you, you would somehow lead us to those who are suffering, lead us to see of the suffering or the need that perhaps you're putting in front of us so that we may faithfully befriend those who need you and thus honor you with our whole lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.